Well, hi there, and welcome to your show. It is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Escher, coming to you live from Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary in Weston, Massachusetts, where I'm part of the orientation team for our 10 new guys coming in this fall. And I am with Debbie Giorgiani, who is at her studio in her home in Arizona. And we are ready for, Debbie, what I know is going to be a blessed and beautiful conversation on this glorious feast of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother.
I completely agree, Jerry. And so we titled the show, Go to Our Lady. So if you have gone to our spiritual mother and you feel very close to her, we want you to call in and shout it all the way up to heaven. Okay, this is a worldwide platform for you to share how much you love and appreciate our spiritual mother on this beautiful feast day of the Assumption. So please stop what you're doing and call in. Maybe you have a question about the Blessed Virgin Mary and you're not Catholic and you want to ask that question, this is also the show to do it. So again, stop what you're doing and make your call right now. We have Vanessa on the phones at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And Jerry, before you continue with our introduction of this wonderful show today, live, we're live today, guys. So call in. The phones are working and they're working really well. And they're just, we want to see them light up before Our Lady. So please call in. Jerry, I get asked this question from Take Two family members pretty much on a weekly basis. Okay, God willing, if everything goes right with your classes and seminary, when will you be ordained? That's what they're asking.
Well, I have 3 years left of seminary, including this year that I'm heading into. I'm heading into what is called Second Theology. The U.S. CCB has put out a new program for priestly formation, and they have different words for it. It's the stages are discipleship, configuration, and vocational synthesis. I am in the configuration stage, second configuration or second year theology. So I have this year and two more after that, God willing. And the Diocese of Orlando always ordains on the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, so that enables me to know what date that would be if God's grace helps me to persevere. That would be May 27th of 2028.
May 27th, 2028. Okay, guys, put it down in the book.
Pray for me, please.
Yes, we have been praying for you. We feel like we're in seminary as well. So, that's exciting. You know, that's going to be here before you know it. And that's the interesting thing. As you get older, time moves quickly. So please, we want you to share something about Our Lady on this beautiful solemnity of the Assumption today. It's a holy day of obligation. So please, make plans to go to Mass. And I was looking at Mass times all around my diocese, and they had plenty of Masses at nighttime. So if you maybe check out some of the Catholic parishes around you so you could make Mass. Jerry?
Yeah. So again, I wish so much I were a listener to the program today, because I would call in a second, because I have so many things I would love to say in gratitude to Our Lady and how much she has just helped to lead me closer to her son Jesus and get me to this point where I am today. So Take Two family, take it away. Going to Mary, how do you approach our Blessed Mother? What role does she play in your life as your spiritual mama? How has she helped you know Jesus better and your faith better in the Eucharist? How has Mary impacted you? Let us hear from you today at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And Debbie, not only is it the Feast of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother into Heaven, today is a special anniversary for EWTN as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Yes. And we have been celebrating. Today marks the 44th anniversary of the launch of EWTN. On today, you guys, on the Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, 44 years ago. Think about that. How many souls have been touched in 44 years? And maybe you could tell us your story about how you became, used to EWTN, you looked for EWTN radio and television, you leaned on EWTN, you enjoyed EWTN, and you learned something from EWTN, because it's a global Catholic radio network. And so that's huge. Would you maybe call in and tell your special story of how you have really come to love and appreciate EWTN and all that it offers? Because it's a lot, and we're going to share some of those things later, but we want to hear from you. So this is a time to show our appreciation appreciation, our gratitude, our celebration for all things Catholic Radio and for Our Lady that's watching. We know she's watching Catholic Radio. We just can feel it all the time. Right, Jer?
Yeah. Well, and as Debbie always says, you don't have to be Catholic to call in. Maybe you're a non-Catholic Christian, or maybe not even a believer in God, for that matter. But you are happen to be tuned in. A lot of people tune in out of curiosity, or just because maybe there are some tugs on their hearts toward relationship with God. But if you don't understand the Catholic position on Mary, and you would like to ask a question about it, and any of the Marian teachings or dogmas of the Catholic Church, we can discuss those. Not in great detail, of course, due to time constraints, but we can give you a little bit of a primer on some of them if you'd like. But most importantly today, we just want to hear your story of what role Our Lady has played in your life and how she's... I can tell you, my mother bought me a rosary for my birthday when I was about 22 or 23 years old, just starting to have inklings of coming back to a practice of my faith. And Debbie, I said, well, any mother who cares enough to give her son a rosary ought to care enough for my mom to learn how to pray it. So I did. And boy, as you know, Debbie, when you start getting close to Our Lady, buckle up, because she's going to lead you right to her son.
Oh, boy. Absolutely, Jerry. I couldn't agree more. And for me, Jerry, I always talk about my late uncle, Father Sylvester Lavolsi. When I was baptized, he had a practice of raising the baby up to Our Lady and consecrating the baby up to Our Lady. And so, obviously, I was a family member and baptized by him. So I was consecrated to Our Lady, felt very close to her my whole entire life, still do. I feel she's just very active in my ministry work for me, and I'm just so grateful to our spiritual mother. And our whole family, we have always been devoted to the Blessed Mother. And have you ever had that in your family growing up? Did you have the Mary statues out in the garden? Did you watch your parents pray the rosary? Did you pray the rosary as a family together? How about your grandparents? Did you see your grandparents praying the rosary and honoring Our Lady? Would you please call in and share with us some of the background on how you have come to know and love and trust our Blessed Virgin Mary? Please call in. This is your show. Don't sit this out. We need you. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And Jerry, we have a first-time caller that's coming up after the break. What do you say?
Looking forward to that call. That will be from Sue in Missouri. Also, Mary has been screened, and we look forward to you joining us on this broadcast as well. Well, when you truly understand the Christian life, we are a family. God is our Father. We have our spiritual mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. When you really grasp that, and you have developed that relationship with Mary, it's such a beautiful thing. And really, your thoughts, your gratitude, your expressions of love ought to just flow just randomly from your heart. And we would love to have you share with us on this broadcast today. We do have a line or two still open. We're going to get to your calls momentarily. But please share your love of Our Lady, what she has done in your life, how she's brought you closer to her son. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Debbie and Michael, our producer, and I were kind of musing off the air a little bit for a moment there about how far EWTN has come. Today's the 44th anniversary of the launch of EWTN. And I was just mentioning that when I was the host of Catholic Answers Live, when we launched that show in 1998, we were on 4 radio stations, and now, Debbie, EWTN is heard on over 600 domestic and international AM and FM radio affiliates, Sirius XM, iHeartRadio, the EWTN app. God has blessed this ministry. It's the largest religious media network in the world. It's absolutely amazing.
Wow, that's incredible, the growth. And again, how many souls are touched by EWTN radio and television? Okay, today is a very special day in our church as we remember the Assumption of our Blessed Virgin Mary. She was assumed body and soul into heaven. It is a glorious day. It is a day that we should be at Mass. So that's why this holy day of obligation is so important. It's a holy day of privilege, right? It is really an opportunity for us to grow and holiness as we worship together as the people of God. So let's hear what Sue has to say, Jerry, in Missouri. She's a first-time caller, and she's listening on Covenant Radio. Hi, Sue. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Sue?
Hey. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're okay. a little bit. Are you on a speakerphone, Sue?
Yeah, I was getting an echo.
Yeah, okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, we can hear you better now. Good, sure.
Well, I owe the Blessed Mother my sobriety date. When I was drinking years ago, I went to school to become a doctor and became a drunk, and that was quite a disappointment. That's my story in short. But I would go to, I was also active in my local church, local parish, and kind of living a double life. And I would go into the church when nobody was around and make sure nobody was around. And I'd cry and pray and ask God to get me out of whatever mess I'd gotten myself into. And I meant I was afraid I was going to hell. And I probably would have if I'd have died at that point. And anyway, I'd cry and pray, and I did that for quite some time. I was also going to counseling through Catholic Charities. And I had a counselor tell me at one point, I can't help you unless you quit drinking. And my interpretation was, well, you can't help me because I couldn't quit drinking. But one day when I went in to pray, not long before I quit drinking, I went in to pray, and I think I might have lit a votive candle, I'm not sure. And I looked up at the statue of the Blessed Mother, and I saw her foot on the serpent's head, and I felt hope.
Mm.
And I couldn't explain it. I didn't understand all the theology behind it at the time, even though I was a cradle Catholic. And shortly after that, I got sober. And it wasn't until I started studying Our Lady of Fatima that I recognized the significance of my sobriety date, which is October 13, 1981.
Wow.
And for that, and of course, she led me to her son, and for that, I'll be eternally grateful. I do go to AA, and I've been to other recovery programs or Christ-centered over the course of time, but I have a great devotion to Our Lady for that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I got a thought, but if you want to
you go ahead first.
Well, Sue, I was really touched by your account of looking up at that statue of Our Lady and seeing her with her foot on the serpent, you know, because you said you didn't really understand it all, you know, necessarily from a theological perspective. But what you did understand is so very, very beautiful. And that is, see, Mary, the reason she has so much power and influence is not because of herself. It's because of her son. And she is she's the first fruits of his sacrificial redemption on the cross. God is outside of time and space, so he can apply that anytime he wants to. That's why he applied that to Our Lady. And she was so, you know, she's not held in such high esteem necessarily because she's held in high esteem because she was a disciple first and foremost. You know, do whatever he tells you. She was the first to do whatever he told her and the angel told her. So she has got that power and that influence, and it's so beautiful to hear how she's, you know, exercised that in your life, Sue. Go ahead, Deb.
I just love that your date is October 13th. That's actually a very special date in my book as well, Sue. And I just want to say congratulations to you. And I know you said that you were in school to be a doctor, and you said, I think you used the word, that was a disappointment. You know, Sue, it's so interesting. As I look back on my own life, there were so many things I thought that I should have done or I wanted to do, and it just didn't work out that way. But I realized that the good Lord had another plan and another path. And, you know, maybe the things that I wanted to do, it wasn't going to be beneficial for me for some reason. And I'm here today and doing what I truly believe God has asked me to do. And so it all, I think God works the good for so many of us when we trust and we love and we have that faith. So I just want to say, like, I pray that you take out that word of disappointment and just celebrate where you're at today and know that God is pleased. And I look at that every single day of my life. What do you say, Sue?
Oh, it was a disappointment at that time. Now I look at my life and I really probably wouldn't have made a good doctor just because the first death of somebody would have probably done me in. But I've got a family that I wouldn't trade for the world, and a husband of almost 32 years at the end of this month. And
another congratulations to you.
Yeah,
thank you. And they don't share my faith. I'm the only Catholic in my family, and of all my family, I don't have very few in my line practice the faith there. But so sometimes I feel like I'm standing alone, but I've got the Blessed Mother there and the angels and saints.
You
and
do.
And by the way, and what a privilege to be able to call on this day of the Assumption, and not only that, but the 44th anniversary of Mother Angelica, whom I just love, of launching this worldwide network, because I listen to EWTN almost exclusively. I say almost because every now and then the station will just kind of go crackling in my car and I have to go to something else or just turn it off. But that's about the only thing I listen to in my car.
Oh, this is, and you're always going to remember this day. And you were a first time caller on Take Two, and we feel so honored. I hope you call us again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
Yeah, and Jerry, you had to say, Jerry was going to say something before you go, Sue. Don't go.
No, I have nothing else to add. It's a beautiful story, Sue, and you have absolutely touched the hearts of a lot of people. We always say on this show, Sue, you probably heard us say this, what you, the Take Two family, share is going to impact lives and maybe even turn souls around toward God. So I know you've inspired a lot of people, Sue. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful and blessed weekend. We're talking today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. It's your show on this feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. Your relationship with her, anything you'd like to highlight about that, your love for her, how she's helped bring you closer to her son, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We will go to Lee, another first-time caller in Kansas, listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Hi, Lee. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
So, my story is about Mary, and my wife's Catholic, and when we were married, I was a Baptist, and we were married in '84, and I went to Mass every Sunday, and she taught CCD, and I helped her pass out books and everything, and everybody thought I was Catholic. And I consider those years of being a Baptist. And in 1992, I joined the Catholic Church and continued on in my spiritual growth, and I love being Catholic, I'll tell you that right now. Mm-hmm. And my wife was a very big lover of Mary. We have several statues in our house of Mary. And I was a career Army officer, and in 2002, I was deployed to Afghanistan, and I, anytime I had any situation where I felt I was in danger, combat action, I prayed the Hail Mary, either silently, and when it was loud, I prayed it out loud, and things happened to people all around me, and nothing happened to me. And I attribute that to Mary's protection over me in that tour. And I still pray the Hail Mary. And now I'm a deacon in the Catholic Church. I love Mary.
Oh, praise God.
And she loves you, deacon.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, wait a minute. Congratulations. We love the deacons. We always thank the deacons. Thank you so much for your service to the church. But thank you for your service to our country. Thank you so much. We love the military. We always do shows on the military. Some of our dear friends of Take Two, they're all career military folks, men and women. So thank you so much. I know Jerry wants to say a few words.
Well, no, Lee, I'm as grateful as Debbie is as well. And I actually, more than a comment, I had kind of a question, and that is, you obviously that doesn't sound like you had any major obstacles to Catholicism being raised a Baptist, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Was there, when it comes to our Blessed Mother, did that sort of just flow naturally in your heart, maybe through your wife's devotion to her faith, or how did you have any obstacles or hurdles to overcome in that regard?
People in their religion and highly involved, but I think that period of being a Baptist is what solidified my formation, and I had the ability to sit on the sidelines and watch what went on in Mass, and my wife formed me very well.
That's absolutely great.
Well, okay, so wait a second. That's really interesting because Jerry asked a very good question, Deacon, and I don't know if you heard Sue's call right before you, and Sue was talking about she's the only Catholic in her family, and we were about to say before she hung up that, you know, she's a witness to her family members, and I'm sure Sue is listening right now. Can you say something to Sue? She's the only Catholic in her family.
And I am the only Catholic in my family as well. Everybody else is Southern Baptist. I grew up as a child in North Carolina, so you can imagine that. You know, Billy Graham going to the tent revivals. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the only Catholic in my family besides other people that have married into the family, but my blood family are all still Baptist. And no one harbors any ill feelings toward me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, praise God. Praise God.
Amazing.
Well, we're so blessed, Lee. Again, as Debbie said, you know, your service to our country, your service to the church as a deacon. I'm sure you're a wonderful a father, a husband and father, God willing, and the head of your family. And just to have you on this very special broadcast today, it means a lot to us. So I hope that you will call us again. You're a first-time caller, Lee, but will you make it a point to call us again sometime when there's a topic that resonates with you, okay?
Yes, I listen to you guys all the time. I'm going to save this number in my phone.
Okay. Oh, good. Thank you, Deacon. That is awesome. That
beautiful.
Is so cool.
Thanks, Lee. God bless you.
I love the deacons. Don't you love the deacons?
I'm surrounded by them.
I know. You're surrounded by it. I know. But we need to thank them more. So everybody, when you go to Mass and you see a deacon on campus, go up to them and thank them. Surround them and thank them. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a wonderful tribute to them.
Great. All right, Eleanor, another first-time caller in Oklahoma City, is listening to us on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Eleanor. Welcome.
Hi. Can you all hear me?
Just fine, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I am a first-time caller to the station, and I am a first-time Catholic, so I'm in the process of conversion. I start my OCIA this fall. Mm-hmm. And I've been welcomed into St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church Parish here in Oklahoma City.
Wow. And congratulations. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. And I, too, am in my immediate family the only Catholic, if you will. I was not raised in any church, although I was baptized Presbyterian, later attended Methodist. Churches. But what I really wanted to say about our Blessed Mother is this past Lent season and Easter, I knew was going to be very pivotal in my I think spiritual awakening. And in finding my personal relationship with Jesus and all that beautifully entails, he actually led me to her because I am a mother and with a grown daughter. And because I didn't have the solid foundation that I believe Catholicism gives me now and gives so many of us, I was not the mother that I wanted to be and that my daughter needed me to be. So we are a bit estranged right now, although we are coming together. And I know that it is directly related to not only what Jesus knows is in my heart, but also the Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. And I pray to her and I ask for her intercession because she can show me how to be the mother that I wasn't.
Eleanor, hold that. You're sharing something very, very dear and precious to your heart. We want to hear the finish of that in a moment. We have this break that we can't move right now for our affiliates to take care of a little bit of business. But Eleanor, hang on. We're going to get right back to you. We are having a wonderful conversation about the Virgin Mary, Blessed Virgin Mary, today on the Feast of the Assumption. What that means, just in a nutshell, Mary was taken up by the Lord into heaven, body and soul, when her earthly life was completed, as the definition of the dogma says. And we're talking with Eleanor, a first-time caller in Oklahoma City. And Eleanor, you are sharing really something very dear to your heart, and you know, something that is moving a lot of hearts who are listening right now. So go ahead and pick up where you left off. Sorry about the interruption there, but go ahead.
Understand. I was just saying how in finding a personal relationship with Jesus this past Lenten season, I was led to Mary by Jesus, because he knew my heart and knew that my prayers to him of forgiveness for not being the mother that I wanted to be to my daughter, he knew that Mary and the intercession of Mary could guide me now moving forward. Mm-hmm. And as I shared previously, my daughter and I are working to mend and heal our relationship. And I know that our Blessed Mother is there to guide me in what it means to sacrifice, what it means to be obedient to the Word of God, and how beautiful in doing so we can nurture our children into being what they are truly meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, we can hear your heart right through the airwaves, Eleanor. It is coming through loud and clear, and I'm so grateful that you're just speaking from the depths of your beautiful motherly heart, because you have to imagine that on this feast day of the Assumption, Our Lady is smiling at you because you are her daughter, and your daughter is her daughter, right? And so,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I traveled a lot for work internationally, and even though we weren't Catholic, my daughter loves the rosary. She's always been drawn to the rosary. And so in my travels and then in her travels abroad, we would always find a rosary. And so she has these rosaries that mean so much to her. So I feel that is, of course, God planting the word in her. Mm-hmm. And I know and have been reassured that although I wasn't raised in the church, I do know that God, the Holy Spirit, have always been with me. And now in coming to my personal relationship with Jesus, it just completes that Holy Trinity. Mm-hmm. And I am so blessed. Not only am I blessed to have this call go through, because I have called previously on on this particular day of Assumption, but I also feel so blessed to be traveling to Italy, to the Vatican, for the canonization of Carlo Acutis and Pierre. And there's a reason, because my daughter is a millennial, and I do believe that the power that is surrounding me in these moments, that is surrounding all of us, including her, will be a moment of transformation that I can't wait to see.
Oh, no question about it, Eleanor. Yeah. And I know Debbie's probably thinking the same thing that I am, but would you please we pray to what we call the powerhouse team, and Carlo Acutis is one of the individuals that we pray to before every program. He's part of our powerhouse team, and Debbie and I, we talked for a long time about wishing, you know, kind of a dream of taking the show over there live and attending the canonization. It didn't work out for us, but would you please just kind of represent the Take Two family over there, Eleanor, and put in a special word with soon-to-be St. Carlo for us? Would you
do that? Absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. My pleasure and my honor.
You. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we put you in the prayer book for this wonderful journey into the Holy Mother Church as you go through OCIA. Keep us, you know, this was the first call for you to take to. We'd love to hear updates on how it's going, how formation is, you know, things you're feeling. We would love to journey with you.
Wonderful. I will call and keep you all updated.
Thank you,
Eleanor. I'm so excited.
We're excited for you and with you, too.
And
so
with you, yeah.
We're a little bit jealous, too, Eleanor.
We are a little jealous, we have to admit. We wanted to go to the canonization so badly, so you're very blessed. Get us some pictures. Like, if you get close-ups of things, maybe send us some pictures. You can always email us at take2@ewtn.com, okay?
Thank you. I definitely will.
Thank you,
Eleanor. God bless.
Jerry and I think so much alike. As soon as we heard Eleanor say that, we're like, we wanted to go. We had planned it when we first heard that he was being canonized, and now they're both going to be canonized together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pier Giorgio Frassati.
Yeah,
and just before we get to Lorraine, hang on, Lorraine, in Rochester, I just wanted to mention, you know, Eleanor was talking, Debbie, about Jesus leading her to Mary. You know, we often talk about, you know, Mary leading us to Jesus, which definitely is what she specializes in. But Jesus wants us to know his mother as well. Mm-hmm. And a couple of analogies that came to mind, you know, when a couple are pushing their newly born child in the stroller, you know, on the evening, you know, going out for a walk, people come up, what's the first thing they look at? They don't look at the mom and dad and say, oh, you two are amazing. They look at the child and say, oh, this is just, and that's what parents want them to do, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like a piece of art in a museum, too. You walk around, you know, if the artist was standing there, and if you were just standing there looking at the artist going, wow, yours is absolutely amazing, he'd go, no, I want you to look at my painting. I want you to look at my work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would draw our attention to his work. So that's what Jesus does. You know, he's a perfect Jew. He honors his father and his mother. And he calls us, you know, to imitate him in doing that. So I just wanted
Absolutely.
To share that.
That was beautifully said. Jerry, we have a shout out and congratulations.
We do, as a matter of fact, another EWTN radio partner celebrating, get this, 10 years with us. It's WICX 102.7 FM, serving Concord, New Hampshire, not far from where I am. Congratulations to Father Ray Ball, Mike Bellino, and their team at New Hampshire Catholic Community Radio from your friends here at EWTN.
Congratulations, you guys. Great work you're doing. Wow. Lorraine is up next in Rochester, New York, on our friends, Jerry, at the Station of the Cross. Hi, Lorraine. Welcome to Take Two.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I was not diligent at praying the rosary all throughout my life. On and off in spurts, I would pray it. But in 2019, I must have had a good Lent because I started joining a group after Mass. We would pray, go every day to Mass and pray the rosary, and it was in 19. It was just before the pandemic. And then when 2020 came, when they shut the churches down, I was able to pray the rosary. I had more time. I prayed it three times or four times a day. And so I had, that was very good. It was going very well. And then that year, in October 7th, and when the churches reopened before that, when the churches reopened after the pandemic, I was going to adoration. And our church had it once a week. They had it every Wednesday at the time. Mm-hmm. They had it once a week, and I went to adoration. I loved to go. And so then when October 7th happened, it happened to be on the day they had adoration. I went as usual, like I usually do. I walked in, sat in my seat in my pews, and set my purse down and my prayer book down, and then I looked up at the monstrance, and this bright light was coming from the host. Mm-hmm. Not from the monstrance. The beautiful gold monstrance was just like it always is. But there was this beam of brilliant white light coming out. And, you know, and not many people go to adoration at that church. There were maybe four or five, six of us there. And I thought, what is this? And then in my mind it came, I am the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And then I just kept staring at this light. I said, Jesus, be my light, be my light. And I'm thinking, is this really happening? And I started looking around. Is the lighting different in the church? I looked, and no, I didn't see. They don't have spotlights on the altar. And I just kept looking. I said, is this really happening? And then I just moved like in my seat, 2 inches to the left to see what if I move over here? Will I still see? And then it was gone. And then I quickly moved, you know, 2 inches back to my original. And then, well, it was right there beating. It was like it was coming for me. And then I thought, then I moved, you know, from the right to the left, I moved 2 inches the other way. And then the light was gone. And then I said, oh, my gosh, I moved back to the, my original seat. And the light shone the whole time. And then he said, then I heard, Lorraine, why are you so surprised? You came here to see me, mm-hmm. and I'm just gazing back at you. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is real. This is real. And the tabernacle, the gold tabernacle, it was not, nothing else was, you know, there's just two candles on the altar. And mm-hmm. it was just, and there was just a few other people in the church with their heads down praying or whatever. And then I just kept looking the whole time until the priest came out and mm-hmm. moved the tabernacle back into the, I mean, moved the monstrance back into the tabernacle.
Right, right.
But the light was there the whole time, and I was going to pray the rosary, and I just didn't. Mm-hmm. I just was mesmerized by this. It was like mm-hmm. a mini transfiguration, the brilliance. It was mm-hmm. like a transfiguration. Mm-hmm. Well, but it was the host. It was coming from the host. Right.
So
and then
Lorraine,
that particular day they had Mass, so I stayed mm-hmm. for Mass.
And oh, you did.
Not a day goes by that I don't. That was in 2020 on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And prior to that, I had been, during the pandemic, I had started saying the rosary more often. And I've been diligent on saying the rosary ever since, every day.
Beautiful. Well, the rosary is very powerful. We know that, meditating on the mysteries.
And that's Our Lady. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. But Lorraine, I have to share this with you. And I know Deb, I know that Jerry would agree with me. Lorraine, it's so interesting what you're sharing about this beautiful gift that the Lord revealed to you. So many times when we have heard the stories, Jerry and I, when we've heard the stories similar to yours of a bright light or some kind of indication that the Lord is present, and it seems like it's just for you, right? It's so interesting as how we as Catholics react. I think it is so precious of you to move a little bit 2 inches to the right, you know, look around to see if anybody else is noticing this, because it's sometimes as Catholics, it's so shocking to us. When we receive these precious gifts at times when we probably need it most. So the Lord knew you needed it and wanted to give it to you, Lorraine. And I just think it's so, it just goes to show your very innocent receptivity of him showing himself to you. And you have to imagine, Lorraine, this is how I think, and Jerry, you tell me if you agree with me. You have to imagine that the good Lord is just going, oh, come on, Lorraine, I'm here for you, you know, and he's probably smiling at right, and you said he's gazing upon you, of course, and he's smiling, going, come on, Lorraine, my child, okay, this is for you. And I just love that, because it's always going to be a memory for you and an impression in your spiritual life, and it's only going to allow you, if you choose, because we all have choices, right, if you choose to go just deeper and deeper in your relationship with the Lord. I find that to be just a wonderful story you shared with all of us, Lorraine, and I just your receiving of the gift is so obvious on the radio that you are very, very appreciative and almost a little shocked that, hey, it came from me. That's how much he loves you. I think it's wonderful. What do you say, Lorraine? Jerry's laughing, so I know he agrees. So go ahead.
I'm praying the rosary with such diligence now every day for my children to be receive the faith. They fell away, and they're not raising my grandchildren as, you know, as Catholics. So I'm just diligent, perseverance.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, our producer, Michael McCall, mentioned this for even our previous callers, you know, when we were talking with our other callers about, you know, relationships and, you know, family and coming back together. And Michael McCall, our producer, was saying, you know, please mention Lady Undoer of Knots. And I'm sure you've heard of the novena, Lady Undoer of Knots. Yeah. And it is true with relationships. Our Lady has a tendency to really step in and mend and heal and, you know, spiritually kind of nudge those that we love to move in the right direction. So I would consider that as well. I know you pray the rosary, so that's right, right along with the novenas. And I know I've heard of some people that have had to pray the novena several times before they saw a miraculous, you know, beautiful results.
Response.
Lorraine, you are awesome. We just love you. Thank you so much for trusting us and sharing with us this beautiful gift today that you received.
Thank you. I love your program.
Well, we love you. We love you. Thank you, Lorraine. Lorraine's my, Lorraine is my sister's middle name. I love the name Lorraine.
Nice.
I think it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Good.
Okay. We're going to, let's see, Angel next in Perrysburg, Ohio, on listening on our friends at AM 1260 The Rock. Hi, Angel.
Hello, my darling. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, I wanted to share a cute little story with you.
Okay.
I was in church brushing my hair, being vain, and I have kind of long hair, and I shouldn't have been doing it, but I had the hairbrush out, and I was trying to do two for one, pray and brush my hair at the same time. And when I left, I realized that I had left the hairbrush. I couldn't see it in my purse. I couldn't find it anywhere. Mm-hmm. I emptied my purse like four or five times. It was a huge book bag, laid everything out, walked in church, and I went around this church another four or five times to see if I had left it in the pew or dropped it on the floor. And I was standing near the podium, and I heard this like tinkling of bells, just a light tinkling of bells. And I looked up and I saw her, and she was wearing a rose pink dress with, she had a turquoise, shimmering turquoise like sash, and her veil was gold, and her hair was to her knees, and it was flying in the breeze, and her eyes were violet. She was looking down. She only stayed for a second, and then she disappeared. And then I went to my book bag, and there was my pink hairbrush.
Wow.
Well, again, you know, as Debbie was saying before with our last caller, you know, this is a special little unique gift for you, Angel, for mm-hmm. Our Lady. I mean, being able to have that image of her there before you, whatever, you know, specific form that was certainly, you know, a gift to you, something for you to not only deepen your faith, but as I was going to share with, was it Lorraine, our last caller, mm-hmm. I was going to share about her experience with Jesus in the monstrance, Debbie, that has not only deepened her faith and her appreciation and love, but it's also kind of given her this impetus, you know, to share that story mm-hmm. with other people, you know, and Angel has just shared this beautiful encounter that she had with Our Lady. And, you know, this is something that when we get experiences like this, God wants us to share them because it edifies and builds up the faith of other people. That's what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. Angel, thank you so much. You have such a deep faith and love for our Lord and our Lady. And just to let you know, we have everybody in the book for the prayer intentions for your fiance. And so we've got you covered in prayer. Thank you so much for gracing this conversation today and honoring, giving that spiritual bouquet to Our Lady today on the Feast of the Assumption. Wow. Okay, before we go to our next caller, Elizabeth in Indiana, hold on. Don't go anywhere, Elizabeth. We wanted to share this. It's called Bedatitudes. I love this. This is another great podcast on EWTN's Podcast Central, is the Bedatitudes. Okay, I know. You're thinking, did she pronounce that correctly? Yes, I did. Okay, it's Dr. Greg Popcheck, and he's a pastoral counselor, popular Catholic psychotherapist, author, and co-host of EWTN's More to Life Radio. Offers eye-opening reflections on Catholic fatherhood. Do you get it? Bedatitudes. Fatherhood, based on his book, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. So you got to check this out, you guys. You can hear this and other faith-filled podcasts at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTN.com/podcast today. I love these clever titles. I think mm-hmm. they're so genius.
Well, they make people remember them easily. Yeah. And then once they tune in, you know, they get greatly helped by podcasts like that. So we definitely encourage people to listen.
Yeah.
Okay, as Debbie promised, Elizabeth is holding patiently. We're going to go to you next in Indiana, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Elizabeth. Happy Feast of the Assumption.
Hello. How are you?
Doing well. So glad you called.
Thank you.
So go right ahead.
Well, Okay, well, let me share a little story about how the Blessed Mother saved my life and the life of my son, Matthew. He is now, gosh, how old is he now? 26, 27, something like that. I can't remember. It's been so long ago. But I had gone to Medjugorje in the late 80s. And so that really kick-started my devotion to the Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. And then we were in the military, and we got stationed back in Germany again. And so in March, April, I found out I was pregnant. I started having some bleeding, and the doctors thought that it would be best. I'm not going to be able to have the baby. They thought it would be best if I had an abortion, and I said, that's not happening. There are two sites in Belgium that were fairly close to where we were stationed, Benoît and Barang. And I went to both of them. At one of them, they had miraculous water. I drank the water, and that evening, the bleeding stopped.
Wow.
So I say, praise God, through the intercession of Mary. And so I had, at that time, I was scheduled to go on a pilgrimage back to Medjugorje. My mother was coming and a friend. And so went in July, or maybe it was end of May, to back to Medjugorje. And when I was there, I don't know if you want to say a visit, where Father Iozzo talked, and he was the priest of the visionaries. Mm-hmm. And so he walked around the rooms and prayed over select people. And at that time, he kind of walked past me. And then he turned around and came back to me and gave me and my unborn son a special blessing.
Wow.
And I thought, how wonderful. So this is, you know, and things go along just wonderful. And then in November, I had a dream. And the Blessed Mother came to me in a dream, and she said, I want you to say a novena to me starting on my feast day in December. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and no reason why, right? And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. And so December 8th, I had called a bunch of friends and family, and I said, say a novena. I don't know what it's for. Maybe I'd had three previous C-sections. I thought maybe I'll have a regular birth. And so I said, just pray for the Blessed Mother's intercession for whatever is supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. So December 17th comes along, and my water breaks. And I thought, wow, 9 days. And I think, oh, great, everything's going good. And then all of a sudden, I had this interior feeling, as some moms do, that something was not right. And we lived in an area of Germany. The hospital is about half an hour away. Very curvy, windy roads. It's winter. So I told my husband, I said, you know, call our backup people for the other children. And we drop them off and we go to the hospital. And there is nobody at this hospital. And so and I was like, there's no patients, nobody in the ER. And I thought, how odd. And so anyhow, I get there shortly after I was there, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. I had a couple of extremely large contractions. And with the third contraction, my uterus ruptured. And so I had the entire hospital staff at my disposal because there was nobody there.
You got about a minute left, Elizabeth.
Okay, so I called the pediatrician. The pediatrician comes, and he was amazed. He goes, the baby is not in fetal distress at all. He was he was very dumbfounded. Didn't know why the baby wasn't going into distress. So long story short, I had my son, and then the next day I was like, I couldn't understand why my husband wasn't there. And he said, well, the doctor came in, and he said, don't you know, there was an ice storm that night. He He said, if you wouldn't have gone into labor when you did, you would have died at home because there would have been no way for an ambulance to get to us and no helicopter service for where we were. Mm-hmm.
Well, Elizabeth, we're going to comment on this amazing story because we're going to run out of time here in a minute. But, Deb, for me, this goes, Elizabeth, this goes back to your doing the right thing before God. You know, when you were encouraged to have that abortion, you were firm and steadfast in not doing that, regardless of you had no idea how this was going to play out. But you said, you know what, I will not do this. I will not break the commandment to love and honor life. And so I think, Debbie, that really was sort of the genesis of this whole story unfolding for Elizabeth.
And I think it's so appropriate, Elizabeth. You named him Matthew, means a gift of God. Definitely was a gift to you. Wow, Elizabeth, great story. Christina in Dallas, Texas, on the Guadalupe Radio Network, talking also about Medjugorje. Tina in Buffalo, New York, talking about the rosary. Please call us back on the next Unscripted. You can honor Our Lady, or I want to invite you to call in on the Spirit World tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. We are talking all about Our Lady again on the all about the Assumption, Jerry.
Well, on Monday, we're going to talk about they don't appreciate me at work. Do you say that sometimes to yourself? That's on Monday's broadcast. Our thanks to the show team, Vanessa, the call screener, producer Michael, and Pedro has been on social media. Again, thank God for 44 years of EWTN. The anniversary is today. Have a beautiful and blessed weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.